Today on More to Life, Time Loop. Are you tired of dealing with the same personal or relationship problems happening over and over again? We'll help you change for good. 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with it.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, Time Loop. Do you ever feel like you're stuck in one of those time loops where you just keep, like, hitting the same problem over and over again, and you think, okay, I've dealt with it this time, it's good to go. And then it's not.
It's not. Then it comes back, and it raises its ugly head again like a dandelion in your lawn, and you're just feeling like, what is going on? What does God want me to do with this? Why don't I seem to have any power to change it? Why is it draining me and freaking me out? We don't want you to be feeling that way, and neither does God.
So give us a call at 877-573-7825 and tell us, are you frustrated with a particular problem that you're dealing with in your personal life or relationships? I mean, maybe you're trying to overcome a bad habit. Or maybe you're going through a big transition in your life, a job change, empty nest, a breakup of a relationship, and you're frustrated trying to figure out what God wants you to do next. Maybe the problem has more to do with your relationships. You know, your marriage isn't quite what you wish it was, but you're not sure how to change it, especially if your spouse is resisting that change. Maybe you're struggling as a parent of younger kids to get them to listen, or as a parent of adult kids to, well, get them to listen. Or maybe you're frustrated with your parent or another family member who has a history of being difficult. Yeah. You know, if you're tired of dealing with that same issue over and over, we want to help you make change and keep the change. 877-573-7825. Once again, that number, 877-573-7825. 25.
Well, as you were talking about some of those examples, Greg, I really saw that it's a both end, right? We all have these issues in our lives, at least at certain points in our lives, often throughout our lives. And some of them are things that we are struggling with in our own selves. And it's okay to struggle. You know, God doesn't want us to be the same person that we were born as. If we stayed in our infant self or our baby self, that wouldn't let us become everything God wanted us to become. So we're going to have to do some work throughout our lives to grow and to change and to become our best selves. And sometimes we hit walls where we have to struggle with some things more than others to overcome certain patterns, certain ways of looking at things that are holding us back. But then, as you were pointing out, Greg, sometimes we feel like we have no power at all because it's that other person. We might have a vision for our marriage as being full of sanctity and love and intimacy and caring and mutual self-donation, but our spouse is not on board. They don't believe in our faith, or they have a different viewpoint of what marriage should be, or they're opting out of a particular issue. Maybe, as you were saying, Greg, it's raising those kids of any age, and you're thinking, if God just gave me somebody with a different temperament, I could have been a much better parent because I keep hitting this one thing. It can be other people that make you feel like you're just hitting a brick wall, but it doesn't have to be that way, because when you begin to handle things differently, those other people will shift in positive ways. So, whether it's inside of you or it's in those relationships, we are here to help you today on More to Life. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
You know, making change is difficult, but we're here to make it a little bit easier, and St. John Paul gives us some principles that we can use to get there. Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And, you know, when we say that, people, I think, sometimes wonder, well, what could this theology of the body possibly have to do with practical stuff like making change? Well, actually, quite a lot, surprisingly. So when St. John Paul was Pope, he basically asked this giant question, you know, if we could look at everything God's given us, creation, scripture, salvation history, all of it, what universal principles could we discern about God's plan for human flourishing and healthy, holy relationships? And he spent about 5 years unpacking that question in his Wednesday audiences.
And when we look at the theology of the body, we see that it gives us some powerful principles to create change that lasts. The first key is vision. The theology of the body reminds us that we should always be looking toward what St. John Paul called eschatological man.
That's a mouthful.
It's like,
there.
So I'm supposed to do what now in my busy day? But eschatological man, excuse me, is the vision that God has for us as fully redeemed, whole, and united with him forever. When God looks at us, he doesn't just see the mess we're in now. He sees the incredible, grace-filled person he created you to be. So when we're trying to make change, it's not just about tweaking a bad habit or patching up a conflict. It's about asking, what is God's vision for this part of my life or this relationship? How can I cooperate with God's grace so this situation proclaims his glory? That kind of vision keeps us moving beyond just short-term fixes toward lasting transformation.
So the second key is something the theology of the body calls receptivity. You know, when we're making change, it always comes with bumps in the road. And some of those bumps we can anticipate, others we just never saw coming. And if we're reactive rather than receptive, we tend to do what sort of feels right in the moment. And unfortunately, those decisions rarely produce lasting fruit. But if we cultivate receptivity, we learn to quiet our minds and hearts so that we can hear God's voice. We pray in the moment, Lord, teach me how you want me to respond, not just to the big thing, but to this step, and then the next step, and the next. You know, receptivity lets the Holy Spirit inspire us not just for the big picture, but every step along the way. The bottom line, lasting change comes from holding on to God's vision and learning to walk receptively with him one step at a time. Do that, and not only will you be able to make both satisfying and lasting change, but your life will also become a living witness to the amazing things that God can do when we let him lead.
And that sounds, again, a little bit big, but think about those times where you and your spouse fall into that argument again about money or how you're raising the kids or what you're going to do this weekend, and you become less than your best self. You walk away from that argument thinking, oh, here we did it again. I don't like how I feel about this. I'm kind of furious with that person. You're not in that place where you're leaning toward God's vision for you or for your relationship. Same with any relationship you're in, including your relationship with yourself, where you're running yourself down. You're struggling with feelings that make you feel less than your best self or behaviors that you know aren't right for you, but you don't know how to change them because you've tried a million times and it's not working. Well, let us help you today. Connect with God's grace and get some brand new tools to deal with it. Today on More to Life, give us a call at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. 7825.
Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and then we'll start taking your calls in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence, we bring to you all those situations that make us feel frustrated because we keep running into the same problem over and over again. Sometimes we get frustrated with ourselves for not being able to overcome a particular habit or make that healthy change, or for that matter, discern what you want us to do as we're going through big transitions in our lives. Other times the frustration comes from our relationships. We're really struggling to make our marriage what we wish it was, to have a better relationship with our kids, or to get them to listen and follow through with what we need them to do, or deal with our parents or other family members or friends. We bring all those situations to you now, Lord, and we ask you to help us to avoid the temptation of thinking too small. Help us to think about these situations with your grace, through your eyes, so that we can not just figure out how to make this small change or patch this small conflict, but really see what you want to make of our life in this situation or the relationship. Secondly, Lord, help us to not just try to forge out on our own to figure out how to fix things, but to really ask you step by step how to respond effectively so that we can fulfill your vision in our lives, create lasting change, and proclaim your glory to the whole world with what you can do when we let you lead. We ask all this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, the show is titled Time Loop. As we talk about those times when we just feel tired and frustrated of dealing with the same problem over and over again. And we keep thinking, I fixed it now. And then it doesn't stay fixed. What do you do? How do you make change and make it last? Well, let's talk it out. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk right now with Julie, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Missouri.
On Covenant Catholic Radio. Hey, Julie, welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hey, guys. I'm one of your regular callers every once in a while when you have those topics that apply to me. So thanks for taking the call.
Certainly.
I was just wondering, I don't know if it's too broad of a question, but you said that, you know, if you're going in this loop, to call us and we'll help figure it out. And I was wondering if you guys have a top recommendation to the couples that either come to you or come to your Catholic counselors that seems to work to get out of that loop, if there's like a specific...
Well, it depends on the loop, and it depends on the situation. So it's all individualized to you guys. So what's going on, Julie? Give us an example of what you need today.
Stupid. Well, we constantly fight about everything. I mean, we fought this morning, we fought last night, whether our kids are there or they see it, they don't see it. It doesn't. It just seems like every time there's finger pointing.
So how do you get into that? Well, how does that start? Give us an example of what happened this morning.
Well, it's not only me saying, you know, you were really hurtful the other day, and, you know, I need you to make it right, you know, in fairness, I'm sure my approach at this point is not always the nicest, you know, but I have come nicely lots of times, and it just seems like anytime you bring up a feeling or, hey, you hurt me this way, it's always perceived as an attack. And so then it's, well, you did this. And then, well, I came to you about something, you know, and then, well, you did this. And it just goes back and forth, tit for tat.
Okay. So two things.
And then you lose what you're actually talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Okay. So there are two things I could suggest to you here. And I'll also recommend a couple of resources as well. So that dynamic, what you're describing is sort of the defensiveness that results from two things. The first is that there isn't enough positive to negative interactions in the relationship. So, and this doesn't directly relate to the arguing, but it relates to the context that the arguments happen in. In order for a couple to know, to give each other the benefit of the doubt and to be willing to hear negative things, that there has to be at least a 20-to-1 ratio of positive to negative interactions when you're not arguing, and a 5-to-1 ratio of positive to negative interactions when you are disagreeing with each other. Now, that might sound crazy, right? But when I talk about these positive to negative interactions, I mean, they're not huge things. They're just like, you know, you see your husband walk in the room and you smile at him. You know, he's going to get himself a drink and he says, "Hey, Julie, can I get you something too?" I mean, just those little bids for affection, for attention, for caring, those little ways that we look to take care of each other. When that ratio is 20 to 1, positive to negative, then couples are willing to give each other the benefit of the doubt the other two times when they step on each other's toes, right? So if I know 48 times out of 50, you're looking for my good, you're trying to take care of me, you're working hard to try to make my life a little easier or more pleasant, those other two times when you step on my toes, I'm willing to say, oh, well, they didn't really mean it. But if that ratio gets thrown off, you know, and now the negativity ratio is going up, now I start getting defensive, and everything you say starts to trigger me. You know, I might be in the other room looking for my keys, and I mutter to myself, where the heck are my keys? And, you know, you pipe up from the next room and say, well, don't look at me. I didn't take them. You know, I wasn't even talking to you, right? But the defensiveness is there because we automatically assume that our partner's out to get us because we're not making enough of an effort to look out for each other throughout the day. So one simple thing I'd like you to do as a habit to try to begin to reverse that is in the mornings, I want you to roll toward each other and begin by praying, you know, Lord, help us to be the couple that you want us to be. You know, help me to be the wife that you're calling me to be and love my husband the way he needs to be loved. Help me to be the husband that Julie needs me to be and love her the way that she needs to be loved. And then ask the question, you know, what's one little thing that I could do to help make your life a little easier or better today, husband, wife, whatever. You know, you're both asking that question.
I want you to really hear the words Greg is using, though. It's all about praying for the other and praying for your marriage, not bringing up all the hurts and slights and things that are still bothering you in your prayer. Oh, Lord, fix my husband. He was so grouchy yesterday. Don't let him be good. No. You're praying for the good of the other person. You're praying to have that wonderful marriage and love your husband the way he deserves to be loved and he to love you the way you deserve to be loved.
The second thing, right, in addition to that context, is you're right. Your approach is kind of setting up a situation where you're more likely to get a defensive reaction. I don't mean that it's all your fault. That's not what I'm suggesting. I suspect that your husband's a little touchier than he ought to be. But that said, when we approach somebody and say, hey, you know, you really hurt me the other day and you need to make that right, there's no matter how politely you say that, no matter what kind tone you use, the words themselves come off as an attack. And you're almost certain to get a defensive reaction from anybody. So how do you approach a problem? Well, you know, you say, hey, you know, I don't really like the way thus and such went yesterday. Could we talk about how to handle that better the next time something like that comes up? See, if I say to you, you know, Julie, you really hurt me the other day, and you need to make that right, I'm putting you on the spot, I'm blaming you, I am attacking you, I'm kind of saying, you know, you are the problem, and you need to get fixed, right? And no matter what the kind, I can say, you know, Julie, you're the problem, and you need to get fixed.
It doesn't matter the tone, right? I mean, still putting it all on you, and right. Anybody would be like, wait a minute, what about your end of this, and why are you running me down, and all the appropriate reactions to somebody saying that to them.
But if I said to you, you know, Julie, I know you didn't mean anything by it, but just yesterday, I just didn't like the way that kind of went down between us, and I'd really like to talk about how the next time something like that comes up, we could handle it better. Would you be willing to talk with me about that? You see the difference? I mean, it's still addressing the problem, but it's addressing it in a way that invites you to work with me to create a change. And I mean, sort of implicitly acknowledging that I might have something to do with that, right? You know, I don't like the way we handled that situation, and I'd like us to figure out how to handle it better the next time it comes up. So by having that more solution-focused approach, which and the Gottmans, who are kind of the premier marriage researchers really in the world at this point, they talk about the difference between complaining and criticizing. So the, you know, you hurt me and you need to fix it, that's a criticism. A complaint is, hey, I don't like the way thus and such happened. Could we talk about how to do it better the next time? So you're raising the issue, but in a way that invites cooperation and collaboration in a safe way, so that it can be safe to make mistakes and learn from them and grow together. So we do talk about that in our book, How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love. In the sections on conflict, we talk about 8 habits that healthy couples practice that any couple can learn and we'll walk you step by step through those habits, as well as giving you a quiz to figure out which habits you need to work on the most and which ones are your strengths. So check that out, How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love. If you want more personalized attention and support in getting through this stuff, I really encourage you to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com to learn more about how we can help you find grace-filled ways to transform your marriage. Thanks so much for the call, Julie. Always happy to hear from you. And if there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out. We're taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825. We're talking about making change today, whether it's in your personal life or your relationships. Change is hard to make. We want to make it a little easier today on More to Life. 877-573-7825. In addition to taking your calls, we'll be joined by Rachel Isaac, a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com. We'll be sharing some insights on how we can stay the course when we're trying to make change. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues after the break.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
Hello, Steve Ray here from Footprints of God Pilgrimages. Want to celebrate some amazing anniversaries this year in France? We'll visit Normandy Beach to celebrate our heroic military for the 80th anniversary of D-Day. Also, the 100th anniversary of the canonization of St. Teresa of Lisieux. Join us this October for our Saints and Shrines of France and a visit to the newly renovated Notre Dame Cathedral.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
He was a doctor of the church and one of the most famous saints of all time.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Augustine is honored for his immense contributions to theology, but he balanced his genius with humility. Once declared, it was pride that changed angels into devils. It is humility that makes men as angels. He died in 461.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popcheck.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck, and if you've got questions about making change, we got answers. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Rachel Isaac. She is a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com. She specializes in the psychology of success and directs the Catholic Counselors Program in Performance Excellence, where she works with athletes, performers, executives, and other folks who have to be their best under pressure. Hey, Rachel, welcome to More to Life.
Thank you for having me.
So when we're making change, you know, it's hard to kind of stay the course. You know, things happen, problems come up, we get discouraged. How can we stay more consistent in our efforts to make successful, lasting change?
Well, you're absolutely right. And I think, you know, when we're making change, it's easy for us to kind of fall into all or nothing thinking, assuming that we need to do the thing that we want to do every time. And if we don't, then we've failed. We feel like we've gone back to square one, and then we beat up on ourselves for not being able to be consistent. But I like to redefine consistency as not meaning every time, but meaning more often than not. If I can be consistent with the change that I want to make, meaning I return back to it more often than not, then it becomes an anchor for me rather than an expectation or a test that I have to pass. And this really helps us break out of that all or nothing thinking, because instead of me beating up on myself or feeling powerless or defeated whenever I don't stick to the change that I'm trying to make, I can set myself up for greater success and peace by saying, I didn't do that this time, but let me make a plan to make that happen next time. Or even, what can I do right now to return to that change that I'm making? And when we make this approach, we're also switching our mindset around what our norm is. So typically when we're making a change, we default to thinking about our norm being not doing the thing that I want to do, which then makes doing the thing almost the exception to the rule, which makes it harder to stick to just because of how our brains work. But instead, if I think about consistency being more often than not, it allows me to shift my mindset to recognize that this change is my new norm. So now anytime I don't stick to that habit, that becomes the exception to the rule. And then I can return to my new norm, i.e. that new habit, more quickly and easily. This can be applied to any personal change we want to make, like working out or a new evening routine, but it can be applied to our relationships, you know, boundaries that we're setting, communicating our needs more effectively. Whatever change you're facing, think about that change being the anchor you return to more often than not, rather than feeling like you have to do it all the time, all at once, or just not at all.
Now, Rachel, you know, these are some great principles, but this is just one of many suggestions that you make in your upcoming change workshop. Tell us about that.
Yes, so starting next Tuesday, August 26th, I am starting a 8-week course. We meet every other week on Tuesdays. It's called Next Steps, Navigating Life's Transitions with Clarity and Confidence. So if there is a change that you are trying to make in your life and you just feel like you need tools, support, knowing you're not the only one, we have this cohort starting this coming Tuesday. You can find out more about that at catholiccounselors.com/shop, and then click on Next Steps, Navigating Transitions with Clarity and Confidence for more information.
So whether you're going through a big change in your life or needing to make a change, check out the Next Steps workshop at catholiccounselors.com/shop. Go to Next Steps. Rachel, thanks again for being with us. Always a pleasure, and I hope that folks will sign up for the Next Steps workshop on change that you're hosting next Tuesday evening. But we're taking your calls, listeners, right now at 877-573-7825, talking about the changes that you want to make in your life or relationships. If you're tired of the same thing happening over and over again, we've got the fix.
Is there a universal call to prayer? The Catholic Catechism tells us man is in search of God. God, in the act of creation, called every being into existence from nothingness. Even after man sinned and lost his likeness to God, he remained an image of his Creator and never lost his desire for the one who called him into existence. All religions attest to man's essential search for God. The Catechism points out, however, that God calls us first to that mysterious encounter, prayer. God always initiates. Man's first step in the process is to respond. Prayer is a reciprocal call. Throughout the whole history of salvation, the covenant drama unfolds. The revelation of prayer in the Old Testament comes between the fall and the restoration of man. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Teaches that Jesus Christ is literally and wholly present, body and blood, soul and divinity, under the appearances of bread and wine. In the Bread of Life discourse, documented in John chapter 6, Jesus states that he is the bread of life, and that his flesh is true food and his blood true drink. The Jews were scandalized in verse 52. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus does not back down, but reiterates this teaching four more times over the next four verses. Many left in verse 66 because this teaching was truly difficult. But at no point does Jesus water down his teaching and call them back. No, he allows them to leave, and even questions his 12 apostles if they too wish to leave. Jesus intended to be understood literally, and the Jews, apostles, and the Catholic Church absolutely take him at his word. Examining the truth of the Catholic faith, this is faithforensics.org.
Hi, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. When kids misbehave, it's common for parents to ask how they can stop the bad behavior. Usually the answer is some form of punishment. But punishment isn't a silver bullet. Sure, it might stop misbehavior for now, but it's not very effective in the long term. That's because it doesn't help kids heal the harm they've caused, and it doesn't give them the tools they need to handle things differently the next time. St. John Bosco had a better approach to discipline. He viewed discipline as a teaching opportunity, not a control problem. In his approach, parents coach kids through the process of healing the harm their behavior caused, and next, they help kids learn the skills and strategies they need to do better next time. St. Bosco's approach is called discipleship discipline because it treats kids as disciples or learners. It also reminds us of the loving way Jesus taught his own disciples. Discipleship discipline frees parents from being referees, constantly imposing penalties. Instead, parents coach kids through the hard work of improving their game. Discipleship discipline recognizes that parents and kids are really on the same team. To learn more about discipleship discipline, check out our book, Parenting Your Kids with Grace, or visit CatholicHOM.com.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, the show is titled Time Loop. As we talk about the frustration we often feel when we have to deal with the same problem coming up over and over again like a bad meal.
Oh.
And if you are struggling with a personal change that you're trying to make, overcoming a bad habit, for example, making a healthy change, or for that matter, trying to figure out what God's calling you to do in the middle of a transition you're going through, or dealing with a relationship change you'd like to make, and you're tired of wrestling with that same argument over and over again, or that same frustration with your spouse or your kids or you name it. We are here to help you make the change and keep the change. 877-573-7825.
Before we go to our next caller, we want to send out congratulations to another great EWTN radio partner celebrating 6 years with us. WNLK, 1350 AM, and 103.9 FM serves Norwalk, Connecticut, and the vicinity.
Congratulations going out to Steve Lee and his excellent team at Veritas Catholic Network from all of us here at EWTN. Thank you, Steve, and all the folks who are helping to make Catholic radio possible, including you, listeners, and in fact, wherever you are tuning in to your local EWTN Catholic radio station, make sure you are supporting that local EWTN station with your prayers, but yeah, with your dollars too, because we need to keep EWTN going strong for decades to come. Why? Well, because we want to support you and all the people that you love in living a more faithful, joyful, and abundant life. So again, many thanks to Steve Lee and his team at Veritas Catholic Radio and all the folks making Catholic Radio possible, including, most of all, you, the listeners.
Let's talk now with Andrew, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Nebraska.
Andrew, welcome to More to Life.
Let's talk now with Andrew, who's listening to EWTN.
Andrew, I think you're listening to your radio, so if you could turn it down so you can hear us and we can hear you, that would be great.
We got the delay going on there. Andrew, are you there?
Hello? Yes?
Yeah.
There we go.
Hey, Andrew, what's up?
Hi.
Andrew? I think we lost him.
I think we may have.
Oh, all right, well, we're having some technical difficulties here. All right.
Andrew, are you there?
Yep, last time. All right, well, Andrew, give us a call back if you're still able to reach us. We'd love to talk with you and take your question. Specifically, though, he told our screener, he was asking, because we can go with the information we've got, he was asking about the fact that he and his wife will have an argument, and then she keeps bringing it back up even after he thinks it's been resolved.
Yeah, and that happens to so many people in any relationship.
So let's talk about how to handle that. I mean, I know you're still listening, Andrew, even though you hit a dead spot with your cell phone. So the reason that usually happens is either, okay, because the issue wasn't really resolved. Like, we argued about it, but we didn't come up with any plan to actually handle the issue.
There might be an I'm sorry, or I didn't mean it, or please forgive me, or whatever that is, but we didn't come up with a way to say we're not going to keep hitting this wound point over and over and over again with each other.
And this goes a little bit back to what I was talking about with Julie earlier in the show when she called in, right? And so a lot of times when couples try to address a problem, they don't really address the problem so much as they vent their spleen. You know, they say, I'm mad about this. Oh, this, you hurt me when you did that. Or I'm frustrated about X. And the other person says, oh, I'm really sorry you're hurt about that, and I won't do that again. And they think, okay, that now it's solved. But that's not really a resolution, right? You didn't talk through how are we going to handle that the next time it comes up. You know, what do we need from each other to do that? You know, I need to do X, but I'm going to need you to support me in doing this so that I can do X, you know. And how do we remind each other to make that change, right? So make sure, number one, that you actually have a plan. So it's not just that your wife brought up a complaint and you guys argued about it, and one of you apologized for it happening, but you don't actually have a strategy for how to handle it the next time it comes up. The second reason people tend to bring up old arguments is because something happened that made me feel emotionally similar to that thing. So maybe that thing is resolved, right? But something happened that my brain is putting in the same mental category. See, the way our right brain works is it works by association. It says, well, this is sort of like that, right? And so even if it's not, like if Lisa does something, you know, says something to me that reminds me of something my mom said when I was five, my right brain will say they're exactly the same thing, even though they're completely different.
Yeah, and even though it happened with a completely different person, because it was something that caused us pain or insecurity or something that felt really rotten, when somebody else does that, especially somebody on kind of the same kind of closeness level who triggers our vulnerability, it comes right back up as though it was the same.
So let's say, you know, you, and you'll just pick something, you know, kind of simple, right? Let's say you and your wife have an argument about, you know, you were late for something. You didn't show up when you said you were going to show up. And you argue about that, and she says, oh, gosh, you know, you say, I'm really sorry, honey, I won't do it again. And then you work it out. But then, you know, later on, maybe she asks you to make a phone call, and you forgot to make that phone call to handle that appointment or that other, you know, whatever, schedule that
thing.
and so she says, well, you know, this is just like when you were late.
I can't count on you to do what you say you're going to do, be where you say you're going to be.
And you're thinking, why is this coming up now? We resolved that. Why is she? Well, okay, in her right brain, these fall into the mental category of times when Andrew doesn't do what he says he's going to do. And even though they're completely different situations, broadly speaking, emotionally speaking, they're, quote-unquote, the same issue. So if that's what's happening and she's bringing up old stuff and you're wondering, and it doesn't seem like there's any context for it, what you want to do is you want to say, honey, I understand that you're really frustrated with me about that. Is there something, though, that happened today that reminded you of that we should talk about? Because sometimes what happens is we're not even aware of it, right? Some offense happens in the present, and then we become more aware of that trigger that our right brain sets off in our head, and we say, oh, you know, I'm really upset about this old thing. So we lead with the old thing, but really there's something that happened today that I'm more upset about that needs to be resolved. So you can help reorient the conversation by just saying, you know, I understand how frustrating that was for you, and I'm happy to talk about that if you need to, but I guess I'm wondering, did something happen today that brought that to mind that we could talk through and figure out how to handle better next time?
Now, she might react very strongly, no, of course not. But once you start to go through some of it in the present, and you're saying, you know, what is it? What's going on with today? Let's work on what I can, you know,
well,
like, help
right,
you feel
you might
better
say, well,
with today.
Because I guess I'm confused because like I thought, again, I'm happy to talk about that if you need to, but I really thought we resolved that. So that's what makes me think maybe something happened today that reminded you of that.
It makes you feel like it's not resolved.
And maybe we could talk about that first, right? So that way you can stop feeling picked on or beleaguered or like nothing's ever really resolved. So try to focus on one of those two solutions. Either, you know, that you guys haven't really come up with a solution for the next time this thing comes up, or you did, but then something happens that reminds her of that old thing, and she leads with that instead. So you want to reorient the conversation to what happened today.
Now, you'll see, Andrew, that both of those things are very solution-focused, keeps you both in the moment solving the pain, solving that pain point, as opposed to what we all do, which is the other person, in this case your wife, is feeling wounded by something and bringing up the old stuff to kind of give her a sense of, I feel right about bringing this up because it proves that you're still this person, you're still unjust situation, whatever that is. It kind of props her up. Most of us, when somebody does that to us, then turn around and we're feeling wounded because this person is still holding a grudge against us in our own mind, is always bringing up faults, even when we don't think they're faults in our mind. So we become reactive, and both of us just go off into our very wounded selves, and neither one of us does these two things to reframe this in a solution-focused way so that we can love each other well and actually come to a resolve that sticks.
All right, Andrew, thank you so much for the question. If you want any follow-up resources, our book, How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love, is a great way to look at 8 habits that healthy couples practice and that any couple can learn. We walk you step-by-step through it. Also, in Chapter 3, we've got a quiz that walks you through all the habits to help give you a profile of the strengths in your marriage and the areas for growth, and that allows you to kind of walk through the book in a very particular way that's unique to you, so you can learn those skills and really shore up your relationship. If you want more personalized attention, I'd really encourage you to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We can hook you up with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform the way you guys solve conflicts in your relationship. That's CatholicCounselors.com. But listeners, we are taking your calls right now at 877-573-7825. The show is titled Time Loop, as we talk about the frustrations we feel when we have to deal with the same personal or relationship problems over and over again. It's just no fun, and it kind of wears you down, and it makes you feel like, well, maybe it isn't possible to change. But it is, and we're going to help you do that today on More to Life. Give us a call, 877-573-7825. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths.
Now, this goes directly back to our opening reflection from the Theology of the Body on the importance of having a vision before we set out to make a change. You know, because if we don't have a vision of what God wants to make of this situation, then we just tend to react to it and make small changes that patch the leak, but don't seal it, right? That sort of handle the immediate issue, but don't really solve the problem. And so what Proverbs is reminding us of is the importance of bringing all of these challenges to the Lord, not just thinking, what can I do about it, but what does God want to make of it? And how can I cooperate with His grace step by step by step to allow God to glorify Himself in this situation, so that when I finally get to that resolution, everybody can kind of marvel at what amazing things God did through me and in me and with me to make this situation amazing. That's Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Check it out. And we are also taking your calls right now to make that happen in your life. Give us a holler at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Are you frustrated with a particular problem you're dealing with in your personal life or relationships? Maybe you're trying to overcome a bad habit. Maybe you're going through a big transition in your life, like a job change, empty nest, a breakup of a relationship, and you're really frustrated trying to figure out what God wants you to do next. Maybe the problem has more to do with your relationships. You know, your marriage isn't quite what you wish it was for some reason, but you're not sure how to change it. You're struggling as a parent of younger kids to get them to listen, or the parent of adult kids and you're struggling to, you know, get them to listen. Or you're frustrated with your parent or other family member who has a history of being difficult. Well, if you're tired of dealing with that same issue over and over again, let us help you make a change and keep the change. More with your calls when More to Life continues, 877-573-7825. Back after this.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
Let us strive to know the Lord. Quick question to you and me right now. Is that what you and I are doing every single day? When you and I wake up every day, do we strive to know Jesus or not? In the Old Testament, in the same book of Hosea, a little bit later on, it's in chapter 14, the Lord says through the prophet, my people perish. Or in another translation, my people are being destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. Not a lack of data. We got tons of data. Not a lack of information. We got a lot of information. Not just about things that are happening in the world. We got a lot of data, a lot of knowledge, a lot of information about God. But not a lot of intimacy with God. Not a lot of relationship with God. Not a lot of friendship. That's the cry of God's heart. God wants to give himself to us in the incredible gift of friendship, and we're not taking advantage of it.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today's show is titled Time Loop, as we talk about the frustration we feel when we keep running into the same problem over and over again. Whether it's a personal struggle or a relationship issue, we want to help you make a change and keep the change. Give us a call, 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Marie, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Massachusetts on the EWTN app.
Hi, Marie. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Sure. What can we do for you today?
I'm going through a discernment process of whether or not my boyfriend and I are a good, like, fit for marriage.
Okay. And now, most girls who are dating somebody either kind of feel like, yeah, this is right, or something's really off. And I'm hearing something's off, but you're not quite sure what or if you can overcome it. So what's giving you that feeling, Marie?
Well, like, he checks all the boxes, like, for a Catholic man, you know, for me, for husband.
Okay.
But I don't know if I have that feeling that God gives us for love.
Ah, so you've got your criteria of, you know, things like, oh, he goes to Mass, or he prays, or he's, you know, Catholic.
Like, what are the boxes that he checks exactly? Like,
so far.
Well, like, I really think he'd be a great husband and a great dad. He's very passionate. He is a fire for the Lord. He's very smart. He loves to study.
But you sound miserable, Marie. So what's going on right there? So talk to me. So what would if those tears could talk, what would they say right now?
Like, I think that, like, I don't know what God's telling me to do, you know? And
do you feel like God is... Go ahead.
I think I'm scared of either choice.
I'm sorry, Maria, I apologize. I couldn't make out what you just said there. Could you say that again?
I think I'm scared of either choice, like either decision. I think I'm scared of the outcome of either.
So let me ask you this, Marie. Okay, when that happens, okay, when we're scared of either choice, what that often says is that no matter how good the situation is, maybe I'm not ready for it for some particular reason. Okay? And that's not to say that you couldn't be ready for it, or that could change, or that it's bad, right? But what it means is that there's something that God's kind of pointing you to inside of you that he wants you to look at that would help you be ready either for this relationship or for a different relationship down the road. What do you think it would be that God wants to do in you to help you be ready to make that kind of a commitment to somebody?
I don't know. I don't think that I'm sure enough of my decisions.
And okay.
Yeah.
And that maybe you need to know a little bit more about who you are and what you want from life?
Yeah, but I always say that. Like, that's in my breakup line for a lot of my boyfriends in the past, and I still don't do it.
Well, so, okay, that's good information. That's an important thing to know about yourself, but that's not a reason to push yourself into marriage before you're ready, right? So you know, it's what I would suggest to you, okay, if you notice that there's a pattern there where you say that you break up with people because you don't know what you want, and so you just kind of get out of that, that's a reaction, right? That's the kind of reactivity that we're talking about, where you just avoid the situation rather than working through it. So what I would say to you right now is that you're probably not ready to move ahead with marriage or engagement because you don't know yourself well enough, and you don't know what you want from your life, and you don't trust your decisions well enough yet. That may or may not be a reason to break up with him, though. What that is a reason to go get some professional help, you know, to really work with somebody, whether that's a spiritual director or a pastoral counselor, who can really help you know your mind better and have a clearer sense of what God's calling you to in general in your life. Because when you can feel more confident about all your decisions and who you are as a person and what it means for you to be the person God's calling you to be, then you can feel more confident about all your decisions. So rather than basing it all on should I stay with this guy or not, you know, if he's willing to be patient with you, you know, stay with him for now, but do the work that you need to do to sort out your own sense of confidence in yourself in general and see how the relationship develops over time.
Marie, I love the fact that you have sort of created a list of what you want in a man and especially who he should be as a Catholic man. And you need to, you know, add to that list as much as you want to kind of help you define that. But here's the deal, and I want to really, you know, commend you for doing that. I've told all of my children to do that. They all did it, and they've all ended up with really amazing people. But here's the deal. If you don't do it for yourself, you're not going to know who you are or what you want to be. And so you're not going to know if it's a really good fit, even though he checks those boxes that you wrote. You need to make that kind of list for yourself. Who do I want my future self to be? What are the virtues that I want to embody that when people are with me, they see that I am this kind of a person? What are my hopes and dreams for, yes, marriage, but also for just who I want to be, the kind of mom I want to be, the kind of friend I want to be, the kind of daughter I want to be, the kind of person that I will be comfortable hanging out with all day, every day for the rest of my life, because that's who you're going to spend most of your life with.
And then once you have some answers to those questions, you can ask yourself, when I am with this person, whether it's your current boyfriend or somebody else, do I feel empowered to be even more of that person because they're there than when I'm even on my own? Right? So like when Lisa and I were discerning marriage, you know, the thing that we kind of asked each other was, you know, when I'm with her, do I feel encouraged and strengthened and challenged even to be more the person that I feel God calling me to be than I do when I'm on my own? Because, you know, she knows who I want to be, and she reminds me, hey, Greg, you know, you say that you want to stand for this or be that kind of person, and how does that choice reflect that? And so I knew that she was a good match for me because she would help me be that person.
And I thought we were with somebody, you know, before we met each other, who took away from that person we felt
or
God was calling us to be.
Or made us feel embarrassed about that person,
exactly.
Or ashamed in any way.
If it made us feel lower than our best self that God was calling us to be, we knew that person wasn't right for us. So, Marie, make that list for yourself. Really ask yourself, does this man help draw you up and toward that, or does he bring you down from that? And get good counsel on this, somebody who can walk through this with you, reflect this with you, and also see if there's a past hurt that needs to be addressed that would keep you from being that best self.
Right, Marie, thank you so much for the call. You have a beautiful heart, and I'm so glad that you're asking these questions. These are exactly the right questions to be asking. But for you and any other listener out there, you know, don't ever marry somebody just because they check the boxes, right? Because it's also a question of, am I ready to make this commitment in my own heart? Are there certain things I need to develop, wounds I need to heal, things I need to address before I'm able to be with somebody who theoretically checks the boxes. Because I see all the time in our pastoral counseling practice where somebody has married someone who checks the boxes, but they're not actually ready for that commitment themselves. And it leads to a lot of problems down the road. Thank you so much for the call, Marie. If there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. And it goes for all of you listeners. If you're struggling to make a change and you're looking for grace-filled ways to make that lasting change, give us a call. Work with us through CatholicCounselors.com. We'll hook you up with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you find grace-filled ways to transform your marriage, family, or personal life. Thanks so much for tuning in. Remember that with God's grace, there really is so much more to life. Have a blessed day.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For copies and downloads of this program and for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.